Hello. How you doing?
Hello. Bugger. I have to set it off on my phone, put my phone in another room where the cat's not going to like sniff it or scratch it outside next to the microphone, run somewhere else, you know, and then record it on my laptop. The issue is I'm in a Travelodge and they're not so good for acoustics. So I've had to put the phone in the toilet with a pillow over it, kind of dampen the sound. But
does that mean you took your cat on holiday? Is that what I was about?
Yeah, I've got the cat with me. Yeah.
Cat in a travel lodge sounds like a really old, like whimsical English folk song.
It does, doesn't it? It might be in like 300 years. Maybe travel lodges are as old as old as the Queen, which is about the time required to generate a folk song, isn't it?
I haven't got a clue. I don't know what the general passage of time laws on folk music is.
Gonna Google that now. Yes, 98 years. Anything 98 years or above is a folk song.
Google will know. Well, welcome along to episode 2 of the Renewable Energy Podcast with My Grid GB, with Dr. Andrew Crossland, who's not me, who's him.
And you call yourself, what do you call yourself? The Layman Dave, which I think is, it's almost like a terrible superhero.
I don't call myself Layman Dave. I think in the write-up for this podcast, I'm General Layman, which makes me sound like a Cluedo character.
It does, but, yeah.
I genuinely thought you'd forgotten my name for a second there.
No. I was trying to remember your little moniker, but it is Layman Dave, which is a terrible superhero. So this week, Dave, we're going to talk about New Zealand and its sort of net zero transition. Net zero being the sort of idea that you have no net emissions of carbon, that what you're putting into the atmosphere, you're taking out somewhere else. And New Zealand's pledged to get there by 2050, and it's pledged to halve its emissions by 2030, which is only 8 years away, which is quite an impressive target. And on the surface, that all sounds great. And I guess it aligns to the green image of New Zealand. That I think does New Zealand still portray a green image, Dave, in terms of the rolling hills and the wonderful wildlife, etc.?
Yeah, they do. I think New Zealand definitely wants to portray itself as a green country. And especially this government, the Labour government we have at the minute with Jacinda Ardern, definitely wants to portray itself as really championing the green movement and pushing forward in that direction. She's actually in Tokyo at the minute. And they announced a trade deal with Toyota that they will be trialing a hydrogen car in the ride sharing scheme. So like, you know, your Ubers mm-hmm. and your Olas and your ride share schemes, a lot of them are Priuses at the minute, but Toyota are going to be trialing a hydrogen car soon.
It's really interesting. I didn't know that about the hydrogen. New Zealand does have this green image, and it's really important to what it's trying to do. And in fairness to it, I think most of the population want to be green. They've got great on conservation, but they're actually, despite the sort of amount of land and resources they've got, they're a net importer of energy. Over 70% of their energy is coming from hydrocarbons. And it's got a weird relationship with energy, Dave, particularly electricity. On the bottom of South Island, you know, New Zealand's got two islands called Tiwai Point, and it's so big and uses so much energy that, in effect, a power station, a dam was built, the Manapouri Dam, to feed that aluminium plant. And every single election in New Zealand, the owner of that plant, which is Rio Tinto, goes, "Oh, we're going to close it, by the way." And then there's all a big election panic, and you know, all these promises are made about giving them cheaper power and whatever, and tax cuts, whatever. I mean, it's all about, obviously, you know, Rio Tinto trying to get a better deal and politicians trying to win seats in the election. And this is, you know, a real dominant issue. How the hell does that relate to hydrogen, Dave's thinking? Andrew's just gone off on one. But no, it's really important. So aluminium, really energy intensive industry, so much so you build a power station. Hydrogen also, to make hydrogen in a green way, you need lots and lots of electricity. You pump it through water, you get oxygen out one electrode, hydrogen out the other. And I think in New Zealand, they're thinking, actually, we could be a world leader in producing green hydrogen. using that hydrogen to fuel cars, heat homes, which is, I think, why Jacinda's out in Japan trying to sign that deal with Tokyo, if that makes sense. They're trying to sort of do, okay, we don't need to be held over a barrel by TY. We can create an economy around hydrogen instead of aluminium, is my hypothesis. Did that even make sense, or have I gone off on that one?
It does make sense. I would say it sounds a little bit cynical on your part.
Yeah, it is quite. It is quite. Well,
you once said to me, "I was the most cynical person you've ever met." So me calling you cynical is a real stretch.
I did actually say that, and you are relatively cynical, but you're cynical of my hypothesis, but. But you know, I do think this hydrogen thing is really worth just touching on. Toyota have been pushing for a long, long time around fueling cars from hydrogen. They think that's the future, and maybe it is in Japan, maybe it is in New Zealand. In Europe at the minute, Dave, you know where I'm from, every 10th car seems to be an electric, running on batteries. You know, the sort of car thing, the transition is all about lithium batteries, and actually maybe it's different in New Zealand, or maybe they're getting it wrong. Maybe all these second-hand battery cars are going to start flooding New Zealand soon. I mean, do you see many electric cars buzzing around Wellington?
It's definitely growing. I think in general, you know, you look at countries like New Zealand, smaller, further away nations, they tend to kind of, it takes longer, you know. The infrastructure isn't really there. There's definitely a growing number of Teslas. You see Teslas all over. You know, there's an argument that they're a bit more of a fashion statement than a green thing, but, you know, they're electric cars. So either way, it does the job. There's definitely a growing number of electric cars, a lot of hybrids. Hybrids are everywhere. So it's definitely heading that way. Yeah, it might be a couple of years behind Europe and you know, the big importers or the big, you know, makers. A lot of the factories and stuff are in Europe. So I think it's just natural. It will take longer to eventually make it around. But it's definitely heading in that direction. And I think it's worth saying as well with, you know, it's very easy to be kind of cynical about what the reasons are behind making those decisions, but at least those decisions are being made, which I find is just at the very least for making a step in the right direction. I remember recently seeing an interview during a live debate with Jacinda Ardern, and it was talking about the steps that they're taking to kind of build a greener future and things like that. And they were focusing on climate change, which I know is a little bit of a sidestep, but that we've turned a corner now and people in New Zealand especially have stopped asking, is climate change real? They're now asking, what can we do about it? You know, the bill that you're talking about, the net zero kind of thing, was pretty much unanimous. I think it was one guy who voted against it. Everyone else voted for it. So across the parties, you know, regardless of your political affiliation, they're all collectively saying, yeah, this is what we're going to be heading for, which is great, because there's always a worry, especially in like a lot of two-party systems like America, that you just feel like you're just on this like spiral towards doom, because as soon as anyone puts anything in place, the next guy in is going to take it out as a gesture, as a point to prove, well, I'm going to undo what the last guy did, even though everyone knows that any big change takes like a generation to really kick in. So if every 4 years you keep on doing everyone's work, you're never going to get anywhere. So I think it's a really good step for New Zealand that collectively across the parties are all saying, yeah, it's real. We want to do something about it. And let's just crack on with it and having that kind of goal moving forward.
It's really interesting, isn't it? And like, I mean, I've always viewed this net zero thing really as like, it's a bit of an opportunity. As you know, and I like to model world sort of electricity systems. I've got a little Excel thing and I can put in their demand and wind data and stuff. New Zealand, I wrote a paper on this a couple of years ago, New Zealand actually could be 99% renewable electricity within 5 years if it wanted to. You know, like the opportunity to become so independent of imports of fuels, to decarbonize, to do things that are cleaner and better air quality, you know, is pretty tremendous and pretty unique in New Zealand. I think as well, like there's a huge growth in the world around data. I mean, we're talking halfway around the world recording this podcast, Dave. You know, there's a huge interest in data centers at the moment, and New Zealand's prime for that. It's a stable country. It's nice and cold in some places, which is perfect for keeping computers cool. It's got really green electricity. It's relatively well, or will be soon, well connected in terms of the internet. You know, like, you know, using renewables to sort of grow new industries and grow energy intensive industries like the hydrogen, like the data centers, like aluminium that are coming. So, you know, the opportunity is there, and by being positives, you know, and setting targets is really valuable. Dave, I'm desperate to take you shopping. I'm desperate to take you shopping. I can't hold it in anymore. The reason for this is I want to just sort of highlight to yourself and the listeners how people buy electricity. But Dave, I want you to imagine you're going into New World, which is the one of the leading supermarkets out in New Zealand, and you're walking in the door and you need to buy three things.
Yeah.
So what's the first thing you're going to buy, Dave?
Beer.
Beer. Good choice. Yes. Sorry. No, that's
that
fine.
Makes me sound really one-dimensional as a character. But I was doing that stupid thing that kids do where you just say the first thing you're looking at, and I'm looking at the beer I've got in front of me. So I just said beer like an idiot. But yeah, nice, it probably would be beer, whatever.
And how much would that cost you?
$20, let's say, for a good IPA. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. All right. That's cool. I like that. Nice beer. What would you like with that beer, Dave? You go around the aisles.
What else do I want? Let's go down the international aisle, and we'll get some proper English pub-style pork scratchings.
Ooh, good choice. Pork scratchings down the international aisle. You've got your beer for $20. How much are your pork scratchings? $2, $3?
Oh, they'll be imported, so let's say about $5.
$5, the import premium. Good link to the EV car chat. So you've got beer for $20, pork scratchings for $5. Are you going to top that off? You're going to buy something for your lovely lady?
Oh, I mean, I wasn't going to, but if you're forcing it on me, yeah, all right. What does she want?
She's already got half your port scratchings, Dave. So,
I'll get her some Billy Bear meat from the deli counter.
Billy Bear. Oh yeah, Billy Bear meat. Yeah, very good. Yeah. I still don't know which animal that comes from. But anyway,
I think the answer is yes.
Yes. How much? How much are you spending on your fresh-cut Billy Bear meat?
Oh, it's prime. It's a prime cut. We're going to probably just get 100 grams of it. So let's say maybe about
$3.50. $3. Do you mind if I just say 5? Because that's just going to help amass a little
bit. Yeah, of course you can.
Inflation. Right.
I'll get 150 grams. All right,
$5. $5. $5 worth. So beer $20, pork scratchings $5, Billy Bear meat $5. Dave, how much is your shopping bill?
And then carry the one, move that over. $30.
$30, and that is correct. Would you be buying beer, pork scratchings, and Billy Bear meat? Were you buying electricity, Dave? Your bill would have been $60. What?
Yeah. What? Would you care to expand on that, Andrew?
Yes, I would. So if you go into a supermarket, you take all your things to the till, they add up the price of everything, and that's your bill. So in this case, Dave, 20 plus 5 plus 5 gives us $30. If you're buying electricity, they take the most expensive one and give that the most expensive price and attribute that to everyone else.
Who governs that?
It's an international best practice. I use that word loosely. Which is legislated in so many, many countries for how you buy electricity. It's
That's
what
crazy.
They call it's madness. Isn't it? So it's not when you're trying to work out where, and that's part of my job is developing renewable generators and storage and whatever around the world, is you've got to go like, not how much does my electricity cost? How much is the most expensive electricity that's likely to be there? That's what I'm going to get. And it would very controversial in my industry. I don't think this is a fair way of pricing electricity. I think if my solar is $5, someone should be paying me $5 for it, not 20. I think it's very outdated way of pricing for electricity. And
yeah,
and I don't think
what is the reason for that. So what is the reason for that? Because I mean, off the bat, that sounds to me like a real oligarchy kind of move of just, hey, let's just gouge people because we can. They need power. We have power. Not to go into, it sounds a bit Lisa Simpson-y, that we've got, it's supply and demand. We've got it. They need it. So we can charge what we want. And this is a good way of kind of evening out and making sure that those hippies with their oceans don't undercut us and say, hey, guess what? Yeah. The ocean's kind of free. You know what I mean? And making sure oligarchs go, no, we, you know, you need to buy the dinosaur juice. This is the premium stuff, you know? Is there a good reason for it?
Well, I mean, I'll give you my slightly cynical view on this. Is that until we had my wonderful shopping metaphor and your beer, pork scratchings and Billy Bear meat, I don't think there's a very good way of explaining this. I don't think it's in the public consciousness. I think they just assume these things.
I never knew that.
So when we have a big debate about energy in politics, we debate, well, where should it come from, and we should build this or be more efficient here. The market, I think, is broken. I don't think it's fit for purpose. But then I suppose the other view of this that I hear quite a lot is it's good for investment. Well, of course, it's good for investment because everyone's getting good money. But how does this work in practice? So the hydro dams in New Zealand, when they're bidding in to sell electricity, they bid in at $0 or $1 cent or something like that, you know, because they know they're going to end up getting this crazy high price when whatever the price setting generator comes online. I think what it's doing is, because it's not cost reflective, it's meant to encourage investment and encourage long term investment. I just don't think it's fair. In my view, it's almost like, do you know what a floor price is? The concept of a floor price is like a minimum price. So you go in and say you've got, you know, a big old supermarket selling lemonade, and there's a charity store outside selling lemonade. There's a law that says nobody can sell it. You can't sell cheaper than a certain price. So in that case, it would stop the big evil supermarket undercutting the price of the charity lemonade, if you know what I mean. It's the bottom price. And I think that's the policy we really need to start seeing coming in, particularly on renewables. You know, you say, well, you know, there is a floor price of $60 or $70. That's what you're going to get. And you know, go build. You'll make good returns at that, and that's I think the policy. I think if New Zealand enacted that, I think it would see a massive acceleration, not just of renewable energy, which is kind of what's happening, affordable renewable energy that's selling into the market and reducing bills and making the country more energy independent, which is kind of the point. But we can touch on that another day if you like, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Again, I feel like this is the second podcast in a row where we've ended on a real downer. I've got to say, fittingly, once again, my song for the week is pretty much on the nose with that regard. So I think we're actually ending on a really good point, because that kind of whole aspect and that very, very good metaphor really kind of highlights the real divide we have. And one of the big hurdles we probably have as the little man in trying to really flip the script on where we get our energy from. So if you don't mind, I will just crack on with the track and we'll call it a day. Close your eyes. Bite your tongue, hold your breath, and how long? But when the only thing between you and regret was your phone battery, take a drive to the coast, to the cliffs you call home. Feel the ocean at your feet, let the sea spray sandblast you free. Now if fate's what you choose, then you're just being used. But is it better to stay blind when protesting's easier in the sunshine? I've been stagnating, not living, breathing bold. shoulder, another night on this broken sofa, another day at work, another year older, just hold your breath till all this is over. Oil in the lamp, there's fuel in the tank, water in the taps and gaps left on the map. There's time on the clock, but I can't shake the thought. We're all just amalgamations of our faults, and those memories of Asia are all just a vision. The fade is your drink and your tea in the kitchen. Memories of Asia are all just a vision as you contemplate all of your past decisions. Plow up the earth, dig up the bones, but the roots and the dirt would soon reclaim the roads. Cause they built a motorway through the mortuary, then turned to the sky once they'd poisoned the sea.
Dave, that was superb, and yeah, thanks so much for playing that. And
thank you very much. Hope it wasn't too bleak.
It's uplifting as well. And you can find Dave's music on Spotify and in the link to this podcast. Many famous artists on there. I think you're in great company, Dave. Not only is Good Charlotte with you, and Hawkwind, John Lennon, Yoko Ono, you're all there, mate.
What a mixed bag of names that you pulled out of your head there.
Every artist I can think of.
Hawkwind, Good Charlotte, and Yoko Ono. Well, that sounds like a pub joke. Hey, fun fact about Yoko Ono. Her full last name is actually Yoko Onira Stoffer.
Jolly good. Well, thanks so much for your time, Dave. Thanks so much for everyone for taking the time to listen. And we'll see you next time on the Renewable Energy Podcast.
Yeah.